Welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Hannah Davis from Cookeville Regional Medical Center, and we're here with Allison Barlow, a registered dietitian who currently works at Cookeville Regional Medical Center. And we're going to talk a little bit about diet and nutrition, about exercise. So how are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Hannah. How are you?
I'm doing great, doing great. So let's talk a little bit. It's New Year. It's 2020. And I mean, the New Year's resolution of New Year's resolutions is dieting and exercise and changing your lifestyle. So people are wanting to eat healthy, but so often we tend to try to figure out how to do that. So why don't we talk a little bit about programs that are out there, maybe? Losing the weight, why it comes back, doing these dieting pricey programs that are out there. What is your suggestion for these people?
Oh, yes, that's a good question. So New Year's is the time of the year where a lot of people are starting to focus on their health and they want to make resolutions. And you're right, there are a lot of programs out there. There's some pricey ones. There's a lot of influencers on social media now, celebrities promoting things. And sometimes I think that a lot of these programs have a lot of guidelines and rules that they're trying to teach people to follow. And sometimes if it's too big of a drastic change for people, they may have the weight loss at first, but it's not necessarily sustainable. So we want to recommend that we slowly change our lifestyles and make lifestyle changes versus doing a drastic diet. So instead of making rules and guidelines for yourself to do this for a certain number of days or things like that, let's just make small healthy changes, maybe one a week. For example, if you're a soda drinker and one of your resolutions is to cut back on soda, let's just do one less this week and see how you do, and then reassess and find another goal for the next week. Let's do small sustainable challenges so we don't lose the weight, gain it back. Let's do something that you can sustain and keep it off and change your lifestyle for a long time.
Do you definitely see that? So people go all in, they change their life drastically, and then they're like, oh, this is working, and then it's like, I don't want to eat a salad anymore. I don't want to do this food anymore. And then they start to be like, oh, or maybe they've lost the weight and they're like, okay, well, maybe I can sneak a meal in. And then before you know it, they're right back or even more where they were at. So, those are great, great suggestions. So why don't we talk about what proper nutrition looks like? Can you speak on a little bit about what that looks like for people and how to incorporate that into their lifestyle and truly make it a lifestyle?
Yeah, so I think proper nutrition includes everything in moderation. Like you said, let's not deprive ourselves of some of our favorite foods so we're only eating salads and vegetables and we get tired of that after 2 weeks. Let's have three meals a day. Let's include all of the food groups, vegetables, fruits, proteins, grains, dairy. Let's include everything and even some of your favorite foods. Let's just do it in smaller portions and less often instead of just completely leaving them out. So I think that would be great. That's a good way to start with this.
And so when people, if they want to find information or if they're really wanting to just go into that program, if they are involved in a program, not that programs are bad, diet, right. Exercise programs are not bad. What is your advice to them as they follow those? Should they make a lifestyle change to stick with that? Or should, because I think there is a thing in the air with it's a lifestyle, not a diet. And we need to look at it that way. So as people embark and they spend money, whether it's, I know there's Weight Watchers out there and there's several others, South Beach Diet. I mean, those have been around a really long time. What would you encourage those people if they decide to go with that kind of program?
Yeah, I would encourage them to find one that fits them and their lifestyle, one that's realistic. If someone does have a lifestyle where they do need to have some convenience foods and maybe eat out every once in a while, don't choose one that's so strict that you can't even do that. Make sure it's one that fits your current lifestyle, your schedule, and also listen to your body. If you start a program and you're not feeling well or if you're finding that you're hungry all the time or things like that, maybe reconsider and make some changes and adjustments to it that better fit you. Maybe add in an extra snack in the afternoon, even if the program tells you not to, just to make sure that you're feeling yourself and fueling yourself appropriately.
And, I don't know if you can speak on this, but I want to ask. some of these programs ask for, you know, consult your doctor before you start this program. Can you say as to why people want them to consult with a physician before? What are the dangers in starting a program or doing something with a lifestyle or a diet that might be concerning that they need to consult their doctor for?
Yeah, usually that recommendation is because these programs are for the general population, but some folks out there are going to have certain diseases like diabetes or hypertension or some things like that that may prevent them from being able to follow some of these regulations. If you're diabetic and they're telling you to only eat twice a day, that may not be okay because you might get a low blood sugar. So that's kind of why you need to consult a doctor or dietitian just to make sure that this is appropriate for you and your specific health needs.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing with us about that. So with you saying that, we're dealing with some people, like you said, that have maybe diabetes. There are others that deal with, you know, thyroid and other disorders that may make it hard for them to lose the weight, and they get so frustrated. I mean, it is frustrating when you can't lose the weight and you're doing everything and you're eating right. And, you know, I think we all talk about that, especially in the first year after we've, you know, engorged at Christmas time with lots of cookies and fun things. You know, with these people who have those disorders, what is your advice for those individuals?
Yeah, so first I just want to emphasize that the most important thing if you do have a health disease is to making sure it's managed. So first of all, no matter weight, we want to make sure that that disease is managed. Your doctor and your dietitian are helping you take care of it. So that's the number one aspect before we even get to the weight of it. But if someone is trying to lose weight with a disease, just make sure you're familiarized with your specific disease and how it affects your body, and work with your registered dietitian or doctor on an appropriate weight loss regimen for you. So definitely making sure you're understanding the ins and outs of the disease, and then also making sure that you're just sticking with it and really trying. And even if the weight loss may not show it on the scale, even if you don't see it, you're still managing your disease and bettering your health, which is the most important thing. So I would just remember that.
You're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm your host, Hannah Davis, and we are here with Allison Barlow, registered dietitian, and we are discussing healthy eating, dieting, and exercise. So we were talking about New Year's resolutions and what it looks like for people as they make healthy eating habits a priority in 2020, also with exercise. Going back to talking about disorders and making it hard to lose that weight and understanding, you know, the disease that you might have that may complicate things. Can we also talk a little bit about certain type of allergies to food? How do people, if they find out that they have a gluten allergy or they have a dairy allergy or they have a nut allergy, how do you guys recommend people incorporating that, or what are, you know, not to be discouraged because they're having to get rid of some of their favorite foods. So what is your encouragement to those individuals making those healthy decisions?
Yeah, if someone has a gluten allergy, dairy allergy, nut allergy, we encourage you explore alternatives to those options. For example, if you have a dairy allergy, try soy milk or almond milk, things like that, to make sure that you're still getting the benefits of dairy products. Still the soy milk still going to have calcium, vitamin D, protein. So making sure that you're being open to new options. You're looking at food labels and, to determine what food items are in products and just familiarizing yourself. And also you can consult with a dietitian to help them direct you towards resources and, help you make alternative decisions.
Absolutely. And so being a dietitian, if they consult with you, what is your role in that? What do dietitians and nutritionists, what are your roles in helping people if they want to obtain goals in 2020?
Yeah, so we typically will consult with the patient or the client, ask them what their goals are and help them come up with realistic goals, make realistic changes to meet their goals, whether it's providing them with education and all the information they need to know about their allergy or their disease, or giving them the most recent recommendations on dieting or exercise.
And where, you know, how do they get in touch with different, I mean, is there a list that they can find where registered dietitians are? Can they reach out, or they're, you know, local? I know at the hospital we have those resources. Are you available for people in the public to talk with?
Yeah, so registered dietitians can be seen if a primary care physician refers a patient to us. So the steps you would have to take would be talking with your primary care physician. And if you do have any nutrition needs, you can ask them to send us a referral.
Great. We also have a question about price of food. So when you start to eat healthy, it seems that the grocery bill might go up. Are there suggestions you guys have, encouragement, again, that you can give people that may be like, oh, all the healthy food is expensive, and what are some alternatives that they can do, whether it is meal prepping or some type of alternative?
So I think a healthy diet can be managed financially by making sure that you are budgeting and planning ahead. So often it will be go ahead and making your list and sticking to your list when you're at the grocery store, not buying any excessive items when you're at the store. And like you said, meal prepping, go ahead and planning ahead every week what you're going to eat, what it may cost, what time it's going to take for you to prepare it, and go with it that way. And I think that can be managed financially for the most part. And there's always going to be generic brands at the grocery store, the name brands that you can choose. You don't always have to buy organic versus regular fruit or vegetables, things like that. Little options can help you save money even when you're trying to eat healthy.
You're listening to News Talk 94.1. This is Hannah Davis with Local Matters.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Welcome back. You're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm your host, Hannah Davis, and we are here with Allison Barlow, registered dietitian. I'm at Cookeville Regional Medical Center, and we are talking about healthy eating habits, nutrition, dieting, all the goods, and now we're going to talk a little bit about exercise as well. But before we jump into exercise, we were talking about myths, and I want to talk about a few more myths. So what are some other myths out there? You were mentioning fad diets, people who are looking into these things. You mentioned the internet is full of opportunity. I think I get a Facebook ad every once in a while that, or, you know, actually probably more regularly than not, of join this or join that, or you can lose 30 pounds. You know, let's talk a little bit about those and the myths behind them. Or if you have any other myths, that's great too. So, what are some other myths out there, Allison?
So just generally, like we were talking about, there are a lot of diets out there, things like that. For example, if we want to pick one, the keto diet is a big one right now. And there are some benefits to it, but there also can be some cons to it. So it is an individualized thing of you've got to figure out if this is something you can do or not. And I will go ahead and say some of the benefits people say about it. Some of the facts are it can cause some weight loss. It does restrict carbohydrates. That's the main thing about the keto diet. It restricts the carbohydrates, but it also matters what you're replacing those carbohydrates with. If you're restricting carbohydrates and replacing it with a lot of high-fat foods, that can increase your risk for heart disease, hypertension, things like that. So you just need to be aware of any of these diets you see online or on the internet. Make sure you research and find out for yourself what are some of the benefits of it and what are some of the cons to it, to make sure it's something you should be trying. And also, like we've been talking about earlier, just make sure it fits your lifestyle. Make sure it's not too restrictive that you can't continue to do it for the long term.
So some people will, they're like, I'm going to do this for 30 days and then I'm going to, you know, go back to trying to incorporate. I'm going to do like a quick cleanse, or I'm going to cleanse my body. Or even maybe they go on the keto diet and they, or Atkins or whatever that looks like, and they lose like for 30 days and they lose the weight. And then just to get jump started is the word I'm looking for. Then what happens? I mean, we end up gaining weight, or, you know, why is that not healthy? And why can, what can we do differently to have better outcomes with that?
Yeah, so typically if you're trying to do something like the Atkins diet or the ketogenic diet, if you're doing that for 30 days and then you decide to go back to kind of more normal eating, you likely are going to gain the weight back. These just usually for most people aren't diets that they can continue for a long term. It's really restrictive. It prevents you from going to like a birthday party one day and being able to have a slice of cake. So we just want to make sure that you're following a diet that just makes little changes that still allows you to go to a social event and enjoy yourself every once in a while, or go to a holiday party like we just had plenty of them and have a cookie or something like that. So definitely just making sure it's sustainable choices and lifestyles that you can do for months and any time of the year.
So would you agree or disagree that to really get the results that you want, you need to just change your lifestyle a little, and it may not happen in 30 days. It may not happen overnight. What can you say to that?
Yeah, that's very true. I agree with that. And I think it's way far better for your future and your overall health if you make slow, gradual changes. And our actual recommendation for weight loss is about 1 to 2 pounds a week. That's how you're going to keep it off. And it may take you longer, but it's going to be more sustainable versus you doing this 30-day challenge and then turning around and gaining it back, or struggling after that.
Yeah, that's good. Well, let's switch gears into exercise a little bit. So it's important. Exercise is important. They say nutrition is the big thing. You know, if you can, there's a lot that happens with nutrition, but combined with exercise, it's good. So what should people do? How often should they exercise? Let's just start there.
Yeah, so nutrition and exercise both have really important aspects in maintaining our health. And I can tell you that the American Heart Association has a recommendation for us on exercise. And their recommendation is to help us maintain our health and prevent chronic diseases. So the main recommendation of how often, what type of exercises is about 150 minutes of moderate exercise a week, or 75 minutes of vigorous exercise a week. And I know you're probably wondering, what's the difference between moderate and vigorous? So moderate would be the kind of exercise where you're kind of working up a sweat, your heart rate is getting high, but you can still carry on a conversation. So think of going on a walk with your friend. You can still have a conversation. So that's what we're talking about with moderate. And the good thing about that kind of exercise is you can add that in various ways throughout your day. You can take the stairs at work instead of taking the elevator. You can take your dog on a walk. You can take your baby on a walk, push the stroller around, whatever you need to do. It doesn't have to happen in big chunks, but if you're getting 150 minutes in throughout the week, then that's really good. And then vigorous is going to be our more intense exercise. That's where we probably won't be able to talk to each other while we're exercising. That's going to be more of like running or boxing, biking, whatever it is that gets your heart rate up really high. So that's also an option that some people want to do. You don't have to do it, but it's also something that can help you get some more health benefits. And especially if you're more crunched for time, if you just want to try to get that 75 minutes of vigorous in, then you can do that.
You're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm your host, Hannah Davis, and we are here with Allison Barlow, registered dietitian. And we are talking about exercise right now and how it complements healthy eating. And let's talk a little bit. So you're exercising and you're excited. You've decided I'm going to the gym. People tend to hit it really, really hard at the beginning. And then by like February, March, they're like, I'm done. I'm good. Or maybe they don't even make it that far. What is your advice to help people not burn out so quickly in the gym.
Yeah. So the advice is similar to the nutrition advice. Let's do this slowly. Let's incorporate a little bit at a time. So if you're at the end of December and you haven't exercised in 4 months, let's not start January 1 and go work out for an hour and a half every single day. Get really sore and to the point where you don't want to go back to the gym. So it can be as simple as starting out with, let's go walk in 10 minutes during the day. You know, take 10 minutes during lunch break and go walk for a week. Next week, maybe decide to incorporate something else. So I would recommend just slowly incorporating it back in. So where you're enjoying it, you're not forcing yourself to go do it, and you're not making yourself so miserable you don't want to go back.
For sure. Yeah, there is nothing worse than waking up and being like, I can't go, I can't move, and I can't get myself out of bed. And so, yeah, if we can avoid that. When you're at the gym, nutrition plays, hydration plays a part in that. Can you talk a little bit about hydration and what you need to do to kind of balance it? Your muscles are growing and you're stretching them and you're doing all this stuff. So what's going on with your hydration at this point with exercise?
Yeah. So just for a normal average person, we recommend about 8 cups of water per day. And then when you're exercising, you're sweating and you're losing even more water and even some electrolytes. So definitely make sure that you're on top of, you know, hydrating, making sure you're getting enough fluids in throughout the day. To make sure that you're staying hydrated, you're not going to get any muscle cramps, you're not going to get any headaches or fatigue like that from not being hydrated enough. So whether it's you need to keep a water bottle with you all day or things like that to make sure that you're staying hydrated.
I know I see people with their gallons of water and they're like, I even saw this really cute. They have these women, they're like all fit and everything, and they had these little satchels and their gallon size water jugs that have these cute little like inserts that they go in. I'm like, how can you cute up your water bottle? But you can, apparently you can. A gallon of water. And so I thought that was really funny. So can you drink too much water? Is that a thing?
You probably could drink too much water, but I don't know if we're going to get to that point.
Yeah, that's true. So, especially if you're exercising.
Yeah.
Okay. So I had something happen to me. My husband, Justin, is an exercise, fitness, and wellness. He has a degree in that. He's also a nurse. And we have conversations. Of course, it's like when your mom tells you to do something, you don't do it. But I started working out earlier this year, and I started gaining weight. And I kind of panicked. And he's like, it's normal. It's going to happen. But for some people who don't realize, when you start lifting weights or doing things, the scale changes. So do you have any advice for people and just encouraging them that, hey, this is normal and why that's happening?
Yeah. So it is a fact that muscle does weigh more than fat. So you're going to the gym and the scale may show that you've gained 3 pounds. But realistically, if you're stronger, you know you've gained some muscle. So the most important thing is not necessarily the number on the scale of your actual weight. It's more of your body composition. So if you've gotten more muscle, you're probably losing some fat too. And that's going to help your health. And that's going to help what you look like too. So more muscle, less fat is going to make you appear leaner, even if you do look like you weigh more on the scale.
It's hard. I know, and men struggle with it too. I know I hear that, but from a woman's perspective, I mean, we definitely have to, I've been told, you know, go by how your clothes fit, not what the scale says. And, what would you say to like the scale?
Yeah. So, and it's true. I was a college athlete and I sometimes would struggle with that too. I could look the same as someone beside me, but I would weigh like 20 pounds more. And it was just kind of confusing as to why that was happening, but it really is just the fact that muscle does weigh more. So it really do go to, you know, the inches on your waist or your clothes fitting looser, and maybe you just have a little bit more muscle and tone in your arms. So definitely just making sure that.
And you feel good, that you feel good too.
And you'll feel good if you're more fit. Most likely you'll have more energy, things like that, not feeling so sluggish, and sometimes you may feel if you're not as much active.
So just push that scale aside. Go by how you feel. Yeah. That's great. So thank you so much for being here. Any final advice or encouragement to people about their health and nutrition as we move forward into 2020?
Yeah, just definitely just make sure that you're doing changes for you. There's no one size fits all diet program or anything. Just make little changes to better yourself, whether it's nutrition or exercise or both.
Great. You're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. Thank you for being with us. I'm your host, Hannah Davis, and we've had Allison Barlow with us here, registered dietitian. We'll have a brand new episode next Thursday. We hope you have a great day.